Welcome to Manager Tools. This week, good lieutenants make good captains. Chapter 2, The Trinity. The questions this cast answers are, what are the intangibles of getting promoted? What do bosses look for to decide who gets promoted? And how can I improve the perception of my leadership abilities? For all of you listening in the European theater, in early February, we're coming to Frankfurt, Germany with our public effective manager and effective communicator conferences. If you're thinking about the new year and bringing manager tools to your organization to work with your managers, that's a really great time frame. It would save you significant costs on air travel for us to be there if you wanted to tack some training on in the European area. So for more information, contact Maggie at maggie@manager-tools to learn more about international pricing and those dates that are available for us to work with your team.
We've talked a lot in various podcasts over the years about what it takes to get promoted, and we've repeatedly made the case that results are always a number one priority. However, there are a lot of other intangibles. We started covering these intangibles in chapter one of this series. There are a lot of intangibles that make a difference as well. And this week, in chapter two of the series, we're going to talk about the intangibles, about how to relate to your boss relative to the Manager Tools Trinity, more specifically.
Right. Today, we're going to talk about a little bit more about captains and lieutenants, again, just to retouch on that. So you guys, if you haven't listened to chapter one, you can at least get a sense of why we're doing this and the overall theme here. We're also going to talk about asking for one-on-ones from your boss, accepting a no, asking for feedback, accepting a no, how to respond to feedback with thanks, asking for coaching from your boss and accepting a no, and asking for delegation, and as well, if your boss declines, accepting that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay, so captains and lieutenants, the first part of our guidance is something that we covered in depth in our previous podcast. The previous podcast, Good Lieutenants Make Good Captains, Chapter 1, covered items like knowing your boss's goals, knowing your boss's behaviors, knowing your boss's friends and enemies. We covered it in depth. So for those of you that haven't heard that content in depth, go back and listen to the previous cast first. However, today we're going to continue that conversation in respect to relationships. And we're going to start then by reiterating a fundamental principle that exists in all hierarchical organizations. The most important relationship anyone has in their organization is the one they've got with their boss. This, again, chapter two, this series of casts about being a good lieutenant is all about making that relationship as a direct with your boss as strong as you possibly can. Relationships matter. How many times have we said that?
Millions.
I know, millions, zillions. We should have somebody listen to all our podcasts and count up all of the numbers many, many, many times, because that's really what it comes down to. And it's not that hard if you know what to do.
And we've got some guidance in the first chapter. Today, we have additional guidance on how to do that, how to make that relationship with your boss as strong as it can possibly be. And specifically surrounding the Trinity. Of course, if you're familiar with the Trinity, that's one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation. We start with one-on-ones, as always.
As always.
And in order to be a good lieutenant, we do want to forge a relationship with our boss.
Yes.
It's very, very tough. I would even go so far as to say you cannot be a good lieutenant if you don't communicate well with your boss. And as you might imagine, we think the best way to do that is with a one-on-one.
Something we've also said.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of times. Okay, good.
And this is one of the interesting things. A lot of times when I talk to people about one-on-ones, they struggle to put themselves in the mindset of a manager. So most of the time when we're talking to y'all as managers, and we're talking about how to implement this down your org chart, like rolling this out with the people who report to you. And today, this happens pretty rarely, but we're asking you to put on your other cap, your other thinking cap. We're asking you to think about yourself as a direct. And obviously that was clear from, you know, what the purpose of this cast is. However, sometimes being caught in the middle, I think, causes people to imagine how implementing this with their directs might contradict how they would do it upwards because their boss behaves differently than them.
Yeah. Isn't that the whole reason, Kate, that the Horstmann middleman test exists?
Mm-hmm.
If you're unfamiliar with it, there's a podcast for it, the Horstmann middleman test, which essentially suggests that the way you think about the things you do as a manager or the way you'd feel about something as a manager is different than the way you think about those things as a direct. So putting yourself in both shoes is both necessary and important in many cases.
Right. And today, we don't want you in both shoes. We want you in the shoes of the direct, which is not always something we ask you to think about. That being said, it's, you know, when you think about your boss, guess what? You're not the boss of your boss.
No, that's the most important part about it, I think.
You can't force this one-on-one to occur. Only your boss has that power. So this cast, like, unofficial title might as well be Learn to Accept a No. We've talked about this before about asking your manager, like, for one-on-ones and if they're not doing one-on-ones for you. Actually, I think we talked more about what if they're not doing one-on-ones with me. And we have a podcast about that called Professional Updates. In this case, we want to be good lieutenants. That's our goal here. We're talking about how to behaviorally achieve that. We need to work on our relationship with our boss, which means behaviorally being willing to ask our boss for a one-on-one.
Exactly.
And you might be worried about what they're going to say.
Right? Well, isn't that the crux of it though, Kate? I mean, this happens all of the time, I find, when we're talking to professionals, when we're talking to managers. So many professionals worry so much about being told no that the worry about being told no allows them to convince themselves or talk themselves out of asking for things that there's not a really high likelihood that they'll get. People just don't want to hear no, so they'd rather not ask because they're pretty sure if they did, they'd get a no anyway. But it's a really worrisome precedence to set. After a few years of not asking for things, it would make logical sense. Whatever those things might be. I mean, it could be anything. It'd be operational, logistical, personal, financial, strategic. After a few years of not ever asking for things that make total legitimate sense to you, you might just learn not to ask for things at all.
Which you're teaching yourself that, y'all.
Totally.
Maybe they said yes to some things. Maybe they said no to some things. Maybe you get a no more often than you get a yes.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever reason, you can continue to try. And if you're not, if you've put yourself in this position of, oh, I can't ask because I've not asked, like you've just conditioned yourself in that way, then maybe it's time to think differently. And we touched on this before. If you're listening to this cast about the time that's coming out, which is November of 2022, it's a good time to be doing these kinds of things because we're headed into the end of the year. People are thinking about the year and how it went. And they're also thinking about how to do things differently next year or what to do next year.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
Your journey to becoming an executive, if that's the path you want to take, has an important inflection point, which that kind of like learned, I'm not going to ask behavior and habit will cause you issue. As you climb towards executive roles, which, by the way, you can learn more about executive roles. And we do cover this pretty in-depth in the Executive Tools podcast, which you have to be a licensee in order to listen to. The nature of your communications becomes more persuasive and less directive.
Mm-hmm.
So we're moving into persuasive rather than directive. And that transition can be slightly thwarted or maybe just kind of, I don't want to say strangled, but just kind of limited by, oh, I'm not going to ask.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
It happens because even while each promotion gives you more role power, executives who are at the top, their true power comes from relationships. And relationship power is leveraged by asking, which is, you know, akin to persuasion, rather than telling, which would be more akin to direction.
Exactly.
So, I mean, there's sayings about this, right? If you want to sell, ask, don't tell.
Yeah.
And okay, we've heard that before. we know that we're moving into this new area. And so that habit is not going to serve us as well as we move up into the executive levels.
Exactly. And as a high D, which I think many of our audience members probably are, an assertive, task-focused person, this is where you're going to trip. Let me say that differently. You're prone to, and I learned this really well from a group in Toronto this week, you're prone to, the higher up you get in the organization, due to your busyness tends to increase the higher you get in the organization, you're prone to want to do things more quickly, with more urgency. And your urgency is something that will trip you up. Because it's no longer just about doing stuff and doing them quickly, even though there's far more stuff to do. It's about playing the long game, not the short. So as directs in this case, because that's what the cast is about, as directs, the way we ask for a one-on-one with our boss as a manager or a junior executive is just like asking as any other direct. Your role as a manager in this case doesn't change the way you ask. That is, request a weekly half-hour update with your boss. And there's a cast for that. You can listen to that. And even though you're not an individual contributor, all of the things in it will apply. And in that weekly half-hour update, you prepare a briefing of no more than 15 minutes. And if your boss agrees to the update, don't call it a one-on-one. Give your briefing. In the meeting, the first 15 minutes, ask your questions, ask for guidance, update on status, all of those other things. Now, hopefully, or what you're trying to achieve here, what you'd like to see happen, is that your giving an update would encourage your boss to respond in kind. And your boss will take 15 minutes and they'll update you or ask you questions or whatever the case may be. Not exactly the kind of trust-building opportunity that NMT03 would provide. But I mean, again, to Kate's point, they're your boss. You can't make them do anything. And so for that reason, this is far better than nothing. So you go roughly 15 minutes. Again, goal is they go roughly 15 minutes. And when we finish, ask, hey, would you mind, could we do this again next week? I found it really helpful. Something along those lines. And again, in hopes that this just becomes a regular meeting because the two of you are getting so much out of it, we might as well have this weekly touch point and it's working for both parties so we can continue it.
And bear in mind that some bosses will say no to reoccurrence. Some bosses might say yes, but then engage in delays, which effectively are a cancellation or become cancellation. That way they can say they want to do it while not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Just know that this could happen to you. It doesn't mean that asking was a bad idea. It's really a reminder that as important as your relationship is with your boss, you really have very little leverage over their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing what we can. We're doing our best. We're asking. We're preparing. And this goes even like one step ahead of this, or like the thing we just talked about, I mean, could be, turn out differently. They might not even brief you for 15 minutes, or they might not share anything with you. The bottom line is we really need to be willing to accept a no when we ask our boss to allow us to communicate with them regularly, because they might say that no. And we can't override them. Sure, it's dumb on their part, not having that time from you, the person, one of the people who creates their results. And they totally have the autonomy to do it.
Totally.
So don't lose sleep over things that are outside of your circle of control, your circle of influence, if you will. Bosses are certainly inside our circle of concern. Frustratingly, they are also outside our circle of influence.
That's true.
Which results in,
right? Well,
perhaps not exactly what we want from them.
Exactly. And if you can end up doing these one-on-ones, these touch bases, whatever you guys decide to call them, status updates, it will improve that for you, your circle of influence. And either way, no matter whether or not these meetings are said yes to or no to, do the right thing and ask for them. It's what leaders do. And your boss's answer isn't within your power. And we still as individuals within the organization and leaders within the organization have a responsibility to do what we can to communicate, which is a huge part of being a good lieutenant. And to the point of this cast, which is a huge part in your being seen as someone that's worthy of promotion at some point. And you can add a boss who refuses reasonable communication efforts to your Delta file. Again, there's a podcast for that. Is there a podcast for everything, Kate?
Almost.
Yeah, so there's also the Delta File podcast. Just don't visit the same ill on a future direct of yours. It's essentially that.
Right. If your directs are asking for time with you and you're routinely saying no, you're not behaving as an effective or ethical boss might be behaving.
Totally.
They're asking for, you know, your time to an extent. I mean, there's certainly an amount of time that perhaps would cause us to be ineffective. However, it's completely reasonable that you say yes to your directs when they ask. And this is one of the places too, we talked about the middleman test. The middleman test doesn't have to only flow one way. If you want to think about it from the other perspective, like if my directs were to ask of me, can you spend 15 minutes? And I would deem that reasonable, then we can feel comfortable asking. And just always remember that it doesn't mean that they have to say yes.
Exactly. And we'd be remiss if we didn't remind you guys, if you're a manager, having us spent the last however long, 10 minutes talking about one-on-ones, if you're a manager and you don't do one-on-ones with your directs, don't even talk to us. Seriously, you cannot fault your boss for not having one-on-ones with you if you're not having them with your directs, guys. Essentially, that's what it comes down to. Don't even ask your boss for one-on-ones if you're not having them with your directs. Start there first. Have them with your directs.
Right. There's some sayings about manners. Like, manners are not the things that cause other people to behave. They're the things that allow us to do so when other people misbehave. And we're going to ask of ourselves professional behavior, which would include one-on-ones with our directs. And we're going to ask of ourselves to give our manager, our boss, the opportunity to get to chat with us. And, you know, they can say no. They can also say no to the next part of this, which is feedback.
Yeah, exactly. And this is another thing. In almost every conference that we host, we ask the folks in the room, raise your hand if your manager could give you kind and respectful feedback more often, even about the things that you're not doing well. Would you want more? And all of the people raise their hands. Now, there's usually potentially one person that doesn't raise their hand, but you know that guy. They work in your office too. Okay, so what I'm saying is almost all of us want feedback from our boss. And the exception to it is when we work for unethical or untrustworthy or abusive bosses. And the solution there, if you're wondering, is find a different boss. That would be the answer there. But that is a rarer occurrence than most. So assuming most of us are going to stay, because most of us are going to stay, that means as a professional, you've got to ask your boss for performance communications. You'd be that guy, you know, that guy that didn't raise his hand. You'd be that guy not to want it. And you're not that guy. And if you want it, you'd be crazy not to ask. No intelligent professional would be willing or knowingly assist their boss in not giving feedback. And if your boss isn't giving you feedback and you're not asking for feedback, you're assisting them in their own failure to do their job.
It's not your fault, y'all. And we're not saying it's your fault that your boss doesn't give you feedback. Fault isn't really how professionals see the world. Professionals think about responsibility. And we have a responsibility to make good faith efforts to make it as easy as possible for our boss to give us feedback. Listen, too, if you're not getting a ton of feedback from your boss, you're not alone. That's partially why a lot of us raise our hands when we ask, hey, would you like more feedback? It's because we're not getting enough. The vast majority of bosses don't do a good job giving feedback. Mm-hmm. It would even be fair, I think, to say that they not only don't do a good job, they do a bad job, which is to say they're not giving enough and the stuff that they're saying isn't really considered feedback by everybody.
Yeah.
Which is really, really sad, among other things. Because feedback is critical to all aspects of daily lives in all areas. And somehow, in the context of work, bosses are refraining from this really important thing. It's interesting. Psychiatry calls an environment that's devoid of feedback one where a person does what they deem reasonable and is denied feedback about the results of their actions a wicked environment.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of feedback for a person is called a wicked environment.
There's a podcast, a full podcast on the topic Kate's mentioning. I listened to it recently. It's a two-part podcast, I believe. It's called Wickedness, and it's in the Executive Tools feed. If you're not a licensee, as Kate mentioned earlier, you can absolutely become one and access it. And we encourage you to become a Manager Tools licensee. If you go to manager-tools.com/products, you'll gain access to all the Executive Tools casts, all the show notes for all of our casts, and so much more. But yes, that's where you learn more about wickedness. Become a licensee.
Now that you know that that's what it's called, and you know that that means that it's not a good situation to be in, and you've been given permission by us to change it or attempt to change it, we ask, you ask, take a deep breath, go to your boss, say, hey, boss, I'd really like feedback from you whenever I can get it, good or bad, however you want to give it. I'm open to it. I'm eager for it. You're probably okay giving me positive stuff, and that's great. I want you to know I'm eager for the negative too. You have my word. I won't argue about it. In fact, I'll probably respond with thanks.
Mm-hmm. Now, because I'm assuming a lot of you have listened to our content before and you're familiar with feedback, know that when Kate's saying feedback there, she doesn't mean she's asking for the Manager Tools formatted feedback, the four-part model. I mean, it's enough to ask your boss to give more feedback. It's way too much to ask to get it in the perfect model that you'd prefer. If your boss isn't giving you any feedback now, anything, even poorly delivered, is better than nothing. Obviously, if your boss uses Manager Tools, to our point above, cross your fingers, we're all hoping for that one. But if your boss uses Manager Tools, hope for it, but don't count on getting it in a form of your own preference. And then, on top of that, don't discount whatever form they use. Now, along the lines of, don't be surprised if you don't get feedback. Except to know if you don't get it. That is, don't force the issue. If they may give you a no, say no. And it's our responsibility to control the things that we can control. We have to ask. On the small chance that asking will be the small thing that tips our boss into doing their job. Again, remembering the middleman test. If you're not giving feedback to your directs, wouldn't one or two of them asking for it be a good motivator to at very least try?
And I think in this one, I think in the one-on-one request, your boss is more likely, or the experience that a lot of people might have is there's a bigger chance that a boss would say no. You would say, hey, can I have 15 minutes of your time to brief you? And they might say no. In this case, I think what's more likely to happen is you'll say, I'm open to feedback. I'll be happy to receive it, positive or negative. I won't argue with you. Love to hear it. And your boss won't say no. They'll say, yeah, of course. Totally.
Yeah, sure.
No problem.
Totally. I can do that. Why not?
And then, in fact, will not, perhaps. So if y'all are thinking, gosh, is my boss really going to say out loud to me no? That's less likely.
They'll drag your feet on it.
Right. They'll say yes and then do whatever they were doing before. However, if your team members are asking you, you can use our feedback model to do that and it will make it easier for you. And you start with positive and be aware. It may be that if you ask your boss for feedback, not only are they not going to use the Manager Tools model, it might not all be positive or there might not be a ton of positive.
Oh, totally. That might just all give you all the negative feedback. It could happen.
It could happen. So just as a heads up that you might be asking for something that you don't end up loving because you might be imagining you're going to get a bunch of positive input. it might be that what they do is just give you a list of everything that you could improve upon. Mm-hmm. Again, though, think about your responsibility, and our responsibility is to improve where we can. So we're going to try to engage with that information. And if you do get feedback, because that's our dream for you, is that you do get feedback, even if it is a lot of negative stuff, just say thank you.
All of it.
Just saying thank you is part of being a good lieutenant. It's obviously hard for some bosses to give feedback. They probably tried and maybe they did it poorly or they just gave up. It only, though, makes the problem so much worse if directs push back or argue or try to make a case for why they were right or get their feelings hurt, because that's not what we're trying to do.
Yeah. I've heard from multiple people that the individuals on their team who've asked for feedback in the past, when the manager then got up the nerve to do it, give the actual feedback, the person defended themselves. Again, it's cyclical. It teaches them, that is the manager, it teaches the deliverer of the feedback, that if they give feedback, even when the person asks for it, they might get their hand bit. So, and because I know these people exist, it would be really dumb to ask for feedback and then respond poorly. You're never going to get it again. Done. Door closed. Even if you ask, you could beg me, you could pay me. Not going to give it to you again. You reacted terribly. It doesn't matter if that's wrong or ineffective. It's true, and we all know it's true. If you're going to ask for it, get it, and then complain that you've gotten it, you've now reduced the chances you'll get what you ask for in other areas in the future as well. So if you're going to ask for something, you have to then, even if you don't like it, be okay with it. Otherwise, you're creating their own mess to sit in. And again, the middleman test comes into play. That is, how would you feel if one of your directs asked for feedback and then they whined about how they got it? Talk about sour grapes. You would give less feedback. We know you will. It's natural. It's human. So smile. Say thank you. And it might not be helpful, but it's better than nothing. It's way better than nothing.
And that's a little bit of a theme here. It's easier to be a good lieutenant if you have some of these things in place.
Mm-hmm.
You're not necessarily going to get them all. And the parts that you can get are still going to improve your ability to be a good lieutenant.
Totally.
Including if you were able to get some coaching from your boss. It's obvious here, probably the same principle applies. Asking for development guidance is something we can do to maybe give our bosses a nudge into, hey, please help me with this. It is their responsibility. And maybe us asking can eliminate a roadblock for them from having to do it. The thing to say here is, hey, boss, I'd love development guidance from you. What you'd like me to work on, areas you think I can improve in that might help my performance or career. And if there's a weakness you see, I am willing to work on it. If there's even a relative strength that needs to get better to help me get to the next level, I will work on that. I am really motivated to help.
Mm-hmm. And no, it wouldn't surprise us if your boss is leery about coaching, because it's normal, typical, it's usual that bosses are probably thinking that they're going to have to train you rather than just coach you. So many people have coaching and training. I want to say the way we talk about coaching or mentoring kind of, and training kind of all in our heads at the same time. If you know the Manager Tools coaching model, we know that's mistaken, but that's real in the mind of a lot of managers. And we talk about this in our conferences. We don't coach people as often as we could because we think it involves training. And either one, who's got time for that? Or two, I don't have the skills. I can't teach them myself. I don't know how to do this. So in terms of this coaching, they don't know necessarily that a manager can coach without training. Most managers think if they're going to coach someone, that means hours and hours of training that person and lesson plans. And those plans, that is for the overall goal itself, being weeks and months into the future. That's why they're not doing it, in that the reason they could be saying no is they don't realize the simplicity of what you're asking for.
Mm-hmm. And you could tell them, hey, I'll use the manager tools model to self-develop while you oversee my efforts. You can say it like this. If you'll just give me an area to work on, I will do all the heavy lifting. I'll come up with a goal and resources with an eye towards zero cost. And I'll come up with my own deliverables. I'll keep you posted week to week on what I have and haven't done. I'm the one that has to develop, so I'll own all the work around that. I'll brief you weekly in person or by email if you prefer.
This is a running theme, isn't it, Kate?
Yeah. You also have to be, we have to say it, you have to be ready for a no or a lack of response, just no answer at all.
Just a no answer.
Maybe that's the most likely outcome here, is that they say no or they just don't answer. And asking is what a good lieutenant would do. And so if you were to ask, demonstrating good lieutenant behaviors, it would also help you to be a better captain.
Yeah.
Which, that's what we're going for.
Yeah, totally. That's exactly what we're going for. And if you're wondering, okay, wait a minute, guys. So I could self-develop myself, but how do I do that? I can't imagine that anyone that's listening right now is going to believe me, but there's a podcast on how to use the MT coaching model to self-develop. So whether your boss chooses to be involved or not, and we'd prefer them to be involved, we can use the MT coaching model for self-development for the things that we want to work on to improve ourselves. We don't necessarily need to rely on them to coach us. We could coach ourselves.
Yeah, all you really need to do, you ask, all you really need your boss to do is to point out to you what to work on, and then you can do that learning and, you know, growth, development process on your own, if you have to. If your boss gives you a target, that's much better than you choosing without any guidance at all. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
You could use our model to develop, regardless of someone, if someone were to point you in the right direction, it'd be better if they were involved. But don't let that stand in the way of your development, because it might be their job. However, it is still your development. We've said this before that you're responsible for your own career projection nowadays. There used to be a stair step, a ladder. There used to be a series of jobs you took, and that was the path, and it was quite clear. And the organization was responsible for that, or they developed it, and you were able, it was pretty clear to follow it. And that was years ago, y'all.
Yeah.
You're responsible for your career path. You're responsible for your growth and development. And that's true both in this case and in the other progressions associated with your career, moving into executives and things like that. And we'll help you. If you need help with, hey, I can't set my DBQ goal, I need resources for brainstorming or deliverables, reach out. Like, let us know. We'll help you. We'll totally help you. And we use our manager tools coaching model when we coach executives, which means we know how to coach you. If you want help, you're not alone.
Exactly.
We're here. We'll be your friend. No one ever wants to be our friend.
I know, right? They never reach out to us. They never send us emails. Okay. And then there's the last part of the Trinity, that is asking for delegation and again, accepting a no. And at this point, people are like, seriously, Kate was right back when she said the theme of this should be get really good at hearing the word no. That is, we've got to assume that the same is going to go of the final part of the manager tools Trinity, delegation. If we're not getting it, a good lieutenant would ask for it. Show your boss that you know accepting delegation is part of your job and that you're willing to do it. So you might say to your boss, boss, if you think there's stuff I can help with, I'd be happy to have you delegate to me. I know how busy you are. I'll take small stuff, stuff you don't want to do, stuff you don't even like doing, any of those things. If there's anything I can do to ease your time burdens, I will. In fact, something that I think of often, Kate, something that I've recommended multiple times to people in sessions is you could think through the things that your boss does, the things that they're responsible for, the things that maybe you think to yourself, oh, this could save them time, or I could do this for them, or whatever those things may be, and say something like, hey, boss, I know you write a weekly report on X, and I'd like to help you out because I know that you have tons of things to do. I think I could take report X off your hands and save you some time to do other stuff. Because that, in my brain, making that more direct suggestion saves them doing the work themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think as a manager, I don't, Kate, you might feel differently about it. I oftentimes feel like, yeah, delegating, great. But then I'd have to sit down and look at all the things that I've got and decide what I could delegate. If somebody came to me, though, and was like, hey, could I do this for you? I'd be like, oh my gosh, yes, do that thing. Please do that thing. It's just easier, right? You're helping me help you.
I do find that one of the things, a technique that's also really helpful if you're trying to think about what to delegate or trying to get stuff ready to delegate, which I think is a hurdle that people report, because you should, by the way, y'all, we've said this, you should be ready for a no. Some bosses, they want a high degree of control. They mistakenly believe that because they have done it, they're going to do it better than you and it could be faster. And so they shouldn't delegate. And they're wrong. That's not the standard. If you're struggling with that, a thing to do right now is look at your calendar 2 or 3 weeks from now. Put 30 minutes in your calendar right before your one-on-ones and just title it. It doesn't have to be public. It can be in like a, you know, just a block. Like I have two calendars. I have a calendar that's public where I keep my meetings and things so people know my availability. And then I have a calendar that I keep my priority projects on. Like, hey, I'm going to work for 3 hours on this, or I'm going to work for an hour on this or something. I then, if I have something I have to delegate and I look at it this week and I think, gosh, I could really get this off my plate. I could give it to somebody else. What I do is I look 2 or 3 weeks out at my calendar, and prior to the person that I want to, prior to the one-on-one of the person I want to delegate that to, I put 30 minutes to get the work ready. That means that I don't have to do it today. It means the next couple times I do it, I'm thinking about how to get it ready. And then I put that 30 minutes to prepare it. So just something to think about in terms of getting that work ready, because it's not the standard that you can do it in less time. And it's not, it shouldn't be the standard your boss applies either. Managerial Economics 101 says, if a boss and a direct can both do a job, by definition, the organization wants the direct to do that job because the direct is cheaper. So in this case, you're cheaper, not to put too fine a point on it. And you doing it up frees time at your boss's level to do things that you can't yet do.
Exactly. That's totally. And one more thing here, that is, there's a good lieutenant behavior that's related to accepting delegations, whether your boss steps up and delegates to you or not. That is volunteering. When your boss asks for volunteers for a project or a task, volunteer. Again, wouldn't you want that from your directs? Oh, let me say that differently. Don't you hate when you ask for a volunteer and it's an awkward silence and everyone sits around and just kind of looks at each other or looks down at their papers and pretends that they didn't hear you? If you'd want from your directs them to step up or volunteer for the things that you ask for volunteers on, then do the same for your boss. Again, the middleman test, but good lieutenants volunteer for stuff.
Right. And all of these things we're suggesting are in support of your career. Your career is about results and relationships. And that most important relationship is with your boss. Being a good lieutenant, developing a trusting relationship, performance communications, skill development, helping your boss with her work are all part of that. You can't make it happen. And we can do our best to lower the barriers to those things happening. We're essentially just allowing our boss to let us be good lieutenants.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Kate.
That's all, folks. We'll be back next week with a new topic. Have a good day, y'all.